The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. And I'm going to invite you to sit down for this kind of lengthy story. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability, then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one who had 2 talents also came forward saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground, and here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. It's hard to say, "This is the gospel of the Lord," after reading that story. And Jesus has given us another parable today. In it, this man, take that off, is going away on a journey. He gives 3 people each some money to use, to steward, as we say, while he is away on this journey. Now, you know that it's important, when we've said it many times, when we study a parable, that we are very careful about not just assuming that each person or item in the parable has a direct, is a direct symbol or a stand-in for, let's say, God or for us or for our enemies or for temptation. But it does seem in this parable as though Jesus is giving us a parable about himself as the person who owns the money and gives it to the other people to use and to steward while he's away, because in the story, that person also has the power to command people into the outer darkness, and that's a pretty specific power. So right away, it perks up our ears, because this person with the money, who trusts other people with it while he goes away, first of all, we hear that he has slaves. Are you uncomfortable hearing about God who owns slaves? I hope so. It should make us squirm. And this person, this slave owner who tells his slaves to invest his money while he's away, he gets furious with the one slave who returns exactly what was given to him. He hasn't lost any of it. But boy, the master is furious that he didn't make a profit. And we hear him explain himself, why he buried the money and returned the whole of what he was given when the master came, because he was scared. So the slave was afraid, and in order that nothing would happen to the money he had been given, nothing good or bad, no gain, no loss, he buried the money and kept it safe until his master returned. That actually doesn't sound so ridiculous, does it? I mean, it's great that these other two made a profit, but what if they hadn't? What if they had loaned some of it out and expected interest on it and the borrower had defaulted on the loan? And also, what are the odds that both of these guys got 100% return on their investment? And if they did, I would like them to be my financial planners, right? I mean, what are those odds? yes. But we don't get that story, do we? We don't get to know what would have happened had, how the master would have reacted, let's say, if each of them had come to him with less than what he had given them. We only get two people who invested and increased the money and one person who hid it and made and lost nothing. And he did it because he was afraid, because risk of any kind was worse than the possibility of failure. And while Matthew has been filling our ears with stories and parables that have been filled with weeping and gnashing of teeth for the last many weeks, we've had all this apocalyptic imagery about the end of time, and every story seems to end with a ton of judgment and maybe a sliver of grace. Just last week, we had to confess that the prepared bridesmaids with enough oil in their lamps who were unwilling to share, that just seems confusing, and it does not sound like the kingdom of heaven. And now this week, we have another story that's difficult to reconcile with what we believe about a loving God and the grace of Jesus Christ. So we need to remember that this, in this sometimes hard to approach Gospel of Matthew, this is also the place where we find Jesus saying that he will be with us always to the end of the age. This is also the book where we hear Jesus say, "Blessed are the merciful." It's also the place where we hear Jesus say, "Consider the lilies of the field. If God takes care of them, God will take care of you, and worrying won't add another hour to your life. Trust and love God, because God is loving and will provide." Matthew wants for us what he wanted for his readers nearly 2,000 years ago. He wants us to consider and to wrestle and to wonder and imagine God's desires for us. So in this parable, then, what is it that gets the huge reaction from the owner? The first two, they turn a profit, they get a compliment, and they are invited into the joy of their master. But the guy who didn't turn a profit, boy, he gets the huge reaction in this story. The profit, though, I think is hardly the point. The point, I think, is risk. The first two took some sort of risk, and it happened to pay off nicely, but the third one was afraid and would not take a risk. We who sit here in this room today have been given 10 talents at least. We are the ones on this planet with clean drinking water in every faucet we turn on. We are the ones with electricity in every home and every business we enter. We are the ones with phones in our pockets and food in our cupboards. We are the ones who live in a country where we have the right to gather here this morning without fear of being arrested or imprisoned. so that we can gather in the name of Jesus. We are the ones who are members of a congregation where we are safe to disagree and yet be loved. We are the ones. We are the ones who have been given at least 10 talents. And in our safety and abundance, we are called to take risks. Our financial resources that buy us electricity and clean water and full cupboards, our relational resources that offer us love and safety and welcome, they are to be invested riskily, not just on a sure thing. While we are here and while our master is away, and yet promises is always with us, we are to invest what we have been given, not bury it. And though we want to, it is not really ours to protect. But risk is scary. We might end up losing our resources. We might end up investing lousily. We might end up with less resources, but more joy of our master. See, Matthew's parable this week might have us scratching our heads about profit and loss, and maybe even God's grace. But next week, our same dear Matthew will show us through Jesus that in as much as you have done to the least of these, you have done unto me. And doing for the least of these is always risky. There's not always a great financial profit margin when serving the poor, the scared, or the sick. But there's always so much to be gained by doing so, not the least of which is recognizing when we are the poor and the scared and the sick. And also gaining the unending joy of our master. So what then is God calling us to next? What gift is God calling us to invest, to risk? My dear Emmanuel family, we are sitting in and on and among stores of good gifts. Seriously, this place, these people, the oceans of love and welcome here, the hearts for service that we have, our neighbors need all of it. And I'm excited, and I hope that you are too. I'm excited to discern what God is calling us to next. What brave thing might God be calling us to risk? I'm also a little bit scared because it could get completely out of hand. I mean, grace just does that. As Rachel Held Evans says, grace got out of hand the moment the God of the universe hung on a Roman cross and with outstretched hands looked upon those who had hung him there and declared, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Grace is out of hand. It is on the loose. And we get to live and play and serve within the grace of God. It's not ours to bury and protect. It is ours to spend and to invest and to risk. We were given these resources by the grace of God, and I wonder, along with you, what brave next step God is calling us to. Amen.